Your sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, Jesus really shifts gears here in terms of his preaching. Last week we had looked at how Christ was watching and observing the offering. People were coming and putting in large sums. And we saw the widow come and put in her two pennies. And Christ described that she had put in more than the rest because she had given of all that she had. Jesus was dealing with the individual heart and our individual hearts that we look and see that what he wants is all of us. Now the big shift here now is he moves back and he looks at what's going to happen to all of Jerusalem, what's going to happen to that nation there. And in the midst of that, as he's describing the judgment that's going to come, he also gives the broader context of what's going to happen in the whole world. Now this impacts you. And this impacts me. He describes the tension that's going to be taking place. He also describes the judgments that are going to take place. Now, as he gives this broad picture and he has this broad message, in verses 34 through 36, I say right there, that's the nail that he takes and he pounds in the message. Right there, we see an application for each of us as individuals. We see application for us as families. We see application for us as a church and for everybody who would call on him, those who trust in him as a nation, hopefully, one day. He says there in verses 34 through 36, and I'm going to give that part right now, then we'll look at the whole thing. This is the specific application from this message. Be on guard so that your heart will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So, we're going to look at everything else there, but that's the key application that Christ is bringing. Now we'll look at the different context and how he describes it. Luke chapter 21, starting with verse 5. And while some were talking about the temple, that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts, he said, "As for these things which you are looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down." They questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end does not follow immediately." Then he continued by saying to them, "Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you, and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to his people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars on the earth display among the nations, and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it, and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now during the day, he was teaching in the temple, but at evening, he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet, and all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. Pray with me. Father, help us now as we listen to your word that will not pass away. Help us to have our confidence and our hope in you, that you will be most glorified. We need you, Lord. We need your power. We need you to strengthen our hearts, that we will believe in accordance with truth. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look and we see the dreadful things that are going to happen. We look and we see the terrible things that are going to happen. Some of us, we may look and say, I haven't seen much of that. Throughout history, it has been taking place. Those who have called upon the name of the Lord and would not yield have been executed. They have been murdered. They have been imprisoned. It goes on in waves and it goes on in cycles in this world. There is the expectation that you and I will face persecution. It has been growing in our nation in the last decades. The word of God has been being put off more and more. His word, his law, his standard, what people have believed concerning the word of God has been being pushed out and removed from the land, worse and worse. And without an actual revival, where masses are turning to the Lord, it's going to continue to get worse and worse. Christ speaks to us here ahead of time that we will be ready and that we will prepare our hearts for such a time and for such days. Again, he speaks in verses 34 through 36. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. Now, as we're all dealing with our own discouragements and our own pressures, both of these things are a challenge and a threat to us. To be weighed down with drunkenness and self-medication on one hand, or to be weighed down with the worries of life on the other hand. One, it's not that we run to one, we run to drunkenness or self-medication for an answer, say, oh no, no, we're getting away from that. We're running the other way and we'll just live in the worries of life. No, the answer is in the center where the gospel is. In the center of every heresy, running this way or running that way, we come to the center where the gospel is, where we understand that we will live in this time and that we will live through these circumstances. There will be pressures and there will be pains, and we will not get drunk or self-medicate to answer the pressures and the pains. And we also will not give ourselves over to sorrow or to despair. But we'll stand in the center and we'll stand on Christ, trusting in Him, seeing that an answer does and an answer will come, that we, as we sang and as we read about in Daniel, we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We will not be undone by the pressures and their pressures and the fears and the doubts and the dreads. But we'll trust in Christ and we'll stand firm in His promises. So our first step is to check your priorities. We look and see where our delights are and where our joy is in this world. We look and we see the attitudes of the people. And it's what we do. Christ can stand and He can bring these heavy sermons. And they listen to Him for a while. And then they turn their head away and say, isn't the temple beautiful, Lord? Aren't these wonderful stones like herding cats? They turn and they run to something gentle, or they run to something that they can enjoy. And instead of indulging them at this point, instead of letting them go, He says, I'm going to tear it all down. I'm going to tear it all down. Think in terms of your own aimless distractions. Think in terms of your own self-medication, where the Lord is leading you or pushing you into a direction, and you see, that's uncomfortable. I don't want to be there. I don't want to take that challenge. I don't want to throw off this part of my old man and embrace that form of sanctification. We turn and we run to something else. And Christ, every time, will look at that and say, I'll take it. I'll take it. Your self-medication, your aimless distractions, I'll take it off of you. You'll not keep it. In verse 7, they questioned Him, saying, Teacher, when therefore will these things happen? And what will be the sign when these things are to take place? And He warns them that there are going to be people coming in that will say, peace, peace, where there is no peace. These charlatans or these false teachers that give a false hope, they give a false gospel. The preachers that we could look and see stands full and stadiums full as they preach. But they'll never touch on the gospel or sin and redemption alone in Jesus Christ, or the judgment that comes apart from Christ. We look and we see Christ preaching here and Christ teaching, and He's not shying away from judgment. He's not shying away from speaking of sin and repentance. He's saying it will be the reality, and He even says, for everyone who stands on the face of the earth. This is how Christ preached. He moved us to change us, to come closer to Him, because these pathways that He has established are peace. Whatever tension and turmoil and trials we're facing in this world, if we're at peace with Christ, we have real peace. Ephesians 5, 14 through 21. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper. Now, for all of you who have had to wake children up in the morning. You know this message for all of you who have been awoken. That person says, get up. Wake up, sleeper. It's time. Wake up, sleeper. Now, for us, the language is being made more strong. Arise from the dead. That we see ourselves and we see our sin in this way. That when we're continuing on in our sin, or we're loving our distractions, our self-medication, that we're holding on to these old dead things. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time. There we see the aimless distraction element. Making the most of your time. Because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish. But understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit. And we can take that drunkenness and we'll say, yes, a literal drunkenness there. Don't get drunk, he's saying. Don't go to this for your comfort or for your peace. But lots of stuff will fall into this category as well. All of our self-medication will fall into this category. Those things that are making us joyful, even as we're standing in sin, are a problem. It's the same drunkenness that is there. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then we start to see the community life and the worship aspect that is taking place. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart. A literal translation there is psalming with your heart, or plucking the chords of your heart. That we're speaking the truth to one another in love. Encouraging one another, building each other up, spurring each other on in love and in good deeds. Making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember that giving thanks is one of those cures for anxiety that we see in Scripture. Giving thanks. So the anxiety, is it pushing you to a drunkenness, self-medication, an aimless distraction, or to a place of thanksgiving? The place of standing in Christ and the fellowship of the saints, encouraging and supporting and moving one another on in love and in good deeds. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And there we are in the context of the church. The one another. Being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So that first step is our checking our priorities, seeing where we're running, checking our own drunkenness in our lives, our aimless distraction, our self-medication, rather than the giving of thanks and the spurring each other on in love and in good deeds. So our next step, as Jesus is giving this watch out, is to listen to the Lord. We look at verse 8. And he said, see to it that you are not misled, for many will come in my name, saying, I am, or I am he, and the time is near. Do not go out after them, or do not follow them. How do you recognize a false teacher? Well, you recognize a false teacher by knowing the word of Christ. That you listen to him so intently that when someone else speaks, and they're not speaking for Christ, or they're not speaking his word, you can say, I know the voice of my shepherd, and that ain't it. I know how Christ preaches. And you can look at someone and say, that's how Christ preaches. That's the message of Christ, or it's not. Throughout the years, the Apocrypha comes up every now and then. It's these books that were not accepted into the Bible. And the question, people always say, wait, don't you know there's other books out there? Or they hear, oh, there's another gospel. There are other books that were not accepted for some reason. And people imagine it's some conspiracy that we throw these things off or we threw these things out because they said things that we didn't like. And we think something good is being kept from us. You find out in seminary, and when you find out in seminary, people are like, oh, there's other books. We start to turn like a Gnostic, like there's secret knowledge. And you want to run after these whispers and run after this secret knowledge. And some people take a strong posture, say, no, no, stay away from that. You don't want to go near those things, which makes you think, what are they keeping from me? You want to get closer to it and you want to hear about it. Dr. Spear, his response was my favorite while we were in seminary. Somebody raises their hand and says, yes, Dr. Spear, but do you know that there are other books of the Bible that have been rejected? And Dr. Spear says, oh, yes, I've read them. He said, and if you've read your whole Bible, I encourage you to read them too. He said, and listen for the voice of your Lord. He said, I read them and I listened and I didn't hear Jesus. I really respected that position. It wasn't coming from a position of fear, but he was just letting us know. Yeah, there are other voices out there that would want your attention. And how do you know when someone is a false teacher? We know because we listen to Christ. The false teachers, last week in our discussion in our fellowship time, the term charlatan came up. And I had to ask, what is a charlatan? Well, it's a false teacher who's bringing a false message, bringing a false gospel to us. Jesus says, many will come in my name, saying that they are Christian, pretending to preach the Bible, but they're not bringing the true gospel. Jesus describes them as wolves. Matthew 7:15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He speaks in those terms in Matthew 7:15, Matthew 10:16. Paul adopts the same language and describes it. He says, when I go, I know that wolves will sneak in, in Acts 20:29. And Peter, in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2, he says, but false prophets also arouse among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. There will be false teachers among you. There will be false teachers on the radio. There will be false teachers in pulpits. There will be false teachers on television. They will be there. There will be false teachers among you who secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow, and the word used here is their sensuality. That there will be a permissiveness of lust and of immorality in their teaching. Many will follow their sensuality. And then we see there that there's a danger and a threat that's being introduced that we are to be aware of. And because of them, the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. They will be getting rich from their preaching and from their false gospel. And so our answer there is to read the scripture, to know the voice of Christ, to follow only your Lord. Our next step, number three, is don't be misled by wars and rumors of wars. I have not seen this a lot in our context, that people are always looking for the end times and declaring the end times. I've seen it in other churches. I've experienced it in other churches. Here in verse 9, when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately. the circles I traveled in, whenever there was a war or there was an earthquake, people said, "Oh, the end times. Oh, that's what it is. That's what's going on." Well, we look here and Jesus is describing, he's saying, these things are going to happen. There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars. He even says, there's going to be plagues. There's going to be earthquakes. He says, but the end won't soon follow, or it won't happen immediately after these things. These aren't the signs necessarily that the sky is about to peel back and Jesus is going to be here. In Matthew 24, 36, I was very happy when I found this. It gave me some relief from the pressure of these people who are always declaring the end. Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. That's helpful. Whenever you hear someone saying, the end is now, or this moment, you can say, see, I know what Jesus said. And sometimes they're sincere. Sometimes they really believe it. Some people, they operate in a school of faith in which they'll kneel down at their beds and pray. Great practice. But they'll do it for hours. Great practice. But they do it until they hear a voice that gives them some new revelation. Not a great practice. Actually, a dreadful and terrifying practice. If you sit around and listen long enough, you're going to hear something. It's probably not the Holy Spirit, unless it's speaking specifically what he has already said in his word. The wars, the rumors of wars, do not terrify us and throw us offside. We wait for Christ and we trust in him. As I read through the book of Proverbs and I was selecting categories for the passages and making a list, I was very excited when I came to a passage on the end times in Proverbs 17:24. Wisdom is in the presence of the one who has understanding, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. We don't make the end times our hobby and set our eyes just there looking for every sign. But we set our eyes now, loving Christ, listening to him, and loving one another. I'm three steps through and it's 12 o'clock. We look at what Christ has said, and we keep listening to him. Know what he says. Know his heart. Guard your heart so that you are trusting him in what he says. Have a confidence that he knows every circumstance clear up to the end, and he has warned you ahead of time, and he has given you this instruction. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life. And that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap, as we will each face an end time. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. That's what we're preparing ourselves for and looking forward to stand before Christ, having not wavered in our trust for him, because he has shown us and given us everything that we need. Guard your hearts to this end. Pray with me. Our Father, thank you for sending your Son as our perfect prophet who has made you known. as our perfect prophet who has told us and shown us how to walk through this life. Please help each of us to see our own drunkenness, our own aimless distraction, our own self-medication. Father, and please help each of us to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to spend our time with you, to know what you have said. May we each give you thanks in our own times of tension and anxiety and persecution, that you will be glorified as we love you and as we shine for you, trusting in and proclaiming your loving kindness. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.